ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मुखं करोति वाचलं पाङ्गुं नां गायते गिरिं यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं यत्कृपात्महं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं Just a little bit of background information. We all know how the society established by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, is the very name gives us a little indication, you know, international society. It's a global society, it's an international society meant to actually bring, first of all, in the individual lives of individual of persons within society, and also in the greater society, means ISKCON as a society or Krishna consciousness is meant to bring changes within individuals and within society at large, based on our ancient teachings of what we call Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is vast in terms of, you know, sheer knowledge, books or literatures. 5,000 years ago, as we know, one very great personality who's accepted and described as an incarnation of the Lord, Srila Vyasadeva. He is the one who, up until that time, actually all the Vedic knowledge, which is vast, once again, was received by oral reception. This is the system since time immemorial. But Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled all of this knowledge, as we know, and put it into writing. That's 5,000 years ago. Since that time, we come to know about this from one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. All of the writings that Srila Vyasadeva, along with so many scholars who helped him, who assisted, less than 10% of that knowledge is available today. Something like 7%. I believe it's in the one of the Satsandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami. The Goswamis are very special personalities who assisted 500 years ago Lord Chaitanya in extracting and summarizing the essence, actually, of the Vedic knowledge. Now, this essence of the Vedic knowledge, of course, is bhakti. Krishna bhakti, nitya siddha, sadhya kabunoi sravanadi sudachite korae udoi. Krishna bhakti, the science of devotion. Bhakti means devotion. It is nitya siddha. It is our eternal nature, our eternal quality, our eternal perfection. And that becomes awakened within the heart simply or especially by the process of hearing, sravanadi, sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam. That is our process. First is hearing, sravanam, kirtanam, then speaking, sharing. When we engage in these two activities especially, then Vishnu Smaranam, remembrance of the Lord. Now, in addition to bhakti, devotion, our Vedic knowledge also gives us information as to how we who are here in the material world should live our daily lives, how we should organize ourselves, what is actually very important and essential for us to succeed, to make our life successful. Successful means that by the end of this life, whenever that may be, we will be qualified to actually go back to the spiritual world. Now, there's all kinds of information about the spiritual world in our Shastra, and it speaks about Chintamani Dham. Just like in India, in Uttar Pradesh, there is Mathura Vrindavan. We refer to that Vrindavan as Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan that is in the material world, or manifests in the material world, but it's actually a replica. The Vrindavan in the material world is a replica of what is existing in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. So Chintamani Dham. In India we have Boma Vrindavan. Here in North America, there's a Boma Chintamani Dham. Actually, in Kentucky, one of our devotees has a community there. And of course, we have here New Talavan. There's Talavan in one of the 12 forests in Vrindavan. like this, actually, devotees in different countries, we try to duplicate, we try to manifest, we try to live based on how Krishna lived 5,000 years ago, and how Krishna lived in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago is how he eternally spends his time, is how he eternally engages in all kinds of wonderful activities actually with his eternal associates. And we as devotees have an opportunity to actually reconnect, again reinstate ourselves as Krishna's eternal associates. We are actually eternal associates of Krishna, but we have forgotten about that, and we have broken our link in our connection with Krishna. So an important dimension, and that's the theme I want to introduce here today. this is very important, especially for those who are, let's say, full-time members of ISKCON Society. By full-time members, I mean especially those who are committed in terms of being initiated devotees, but it's also important for other members, other followers, congregational members, who have this opportunity as well to be part. All of us actually are meant to be part of Krishna's spiritual family. As a matter of fact, that is one of four. It is one of four, we could say, aspects of the mission established by Srila Prabhupada. It's called spiritual initiation movement, actually. And I think I had explained this before. I don't want to spend very much time on this, but for those who may not know, our ISKCON Society, Srila Prabhupada's vision of how to introduce this Vedic culture, this knowledge, is divided into four phases, four specific phases. And one of them, it's a third one. The first is introducing the holy name and books, just like we were hearing a few minutes ago, how, you know, one single devotee being very inspired can distribute, by Krishna's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, so many books. Because most of us come to Krishna consciousness because we come in contact with a book, or we come in contact with a devotee who's following the teachings in that book. Those books being Vedic books, such as, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So that's the first phase that Prabhupada spoke of, or movement. Second one being installing deities, having temples. The third one I'm just referring to Spiritual initiation movement means forming, establishing congregation, whereby we again reunite, reconnect with Krishna's eternal family. And then the fourth one, which is a little eluding possibly or not immediately obvious, especially in modern day society. And again, this is connected with the video we'll be showing in a few minutes. It is also very important, and it is in reference to how we are meant to live as communities. Because one of the important instructions given by Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago is that in Kali Yuga, we can't succeed, we cannot expect to succeed as possibly individuals could in previous ages, you know, by practicing on our own and by being independent. We need people. Therefore, congregational chanting, this is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means congregational, coming together of individuals based on the holy name. And in this way, we get strength and we can together support one another, etc. So part of this, we could say congregation or an extension of that congregation, which again is the third phase, congregational development. We have a ministry for congregational development. His Holiness Jagtak Maharaj is a minister for that, along with an assistant or a co-minister, Konteya Prabhu. There are many things happening within our ISKCON society where we are trying to promote actually these different phases, we could say, and the one where we've not been able to develop so much up to now is the fourth phase, or the fourth movement, which is having to do with developing communities in rural areas. Why is it important, rural areas, you know, especially? We can also develop, it's possible, and is very much in line with Shastra as well. We can develop communities in the cities. However, the whole scope of what is called Varnashrama Dharma, and again, you know, it's not immediately obvious, especially because we have, in present-day modern society, set up our lifestyles disconnected with many of the basic principles and concepts that we find in this Vedic lifestyle. Mm. One devotee, some of you may have seen on YouTube, I just came across it yesterday actually. One devotee from Mexico, young devotee actually, started a site that he calls the Vedic Way. Anyone ever seen, possibly? Yeah. Very interesting, and it, to me it shows how Krishna can inspire even young people, because ultimately we're all young, at least young at heart. Krishna is Navayovanam, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Puranam, Purusham, Navayovanam cha. He is eternally youthful. We are also. We may not look like that, depending on the kind of body we have right now, but we're not these bodies, fortunately. So Krishna consciousness, like that, that's the first instruction we are told that we hear from Krishna as well, isn't it? Dehi nosmin yata dehi komaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuyate. Dhira, one becomes sober-minded if he has this basic knowledge that I'm not this body. And that's the beginning of Krishna consciousness, you know, understanding that we are spirit soul. So Vedic culture is especially emphasizing this aspect of living on that platform or on that consciousness that our first and primary objective or goal in life is to increase our awareness, our understanding of the spiritual dimension of life, of who we are, and that we are part of Krishna's eternal spiritual family. We can best begin to do that if we live similarly to what, to how Krishna lived 500 years ago. We're very far from doing that. Modern day society has no clue whatsoever about this, actually, and that's where the Hare Krishna people come in, you know, to demonstrate, to introduce these concepts. Now, in both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, there are important verses. I'll just mention how that's in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a very nice verse that begins with Go Vipra Sura Sadunam. Go means cow, Vipra, Brahmana, Sura, demigods, and Sadunam. Sadun means saintly persons or devotees. And then the verse goes on, that's only the first line. But it is very significant. Why is it significant? Because it begins with go. Different names are there. Gava. Gava in Sanskrit means cows. And we're now introducing our theme here. There are important verses. Other verses will be presenting that tomorrow evening. Human life, or what we call civilized life. Vedic culture. Vedic culture promotes civilized life, where one knows who he is or who she is, and understands what the goal of life is, and also lives in such a way that that goal can be achieved. And it all begins, believe it or not, it all begins, Vedic culture actually begins and is established, or its foundation is based on Mother Cow. And as we come to hear a little bit more about this theme, it is meant to actually help us come to the understanding that this is so vital, this is so true, this is so basic, this is so essential. Now we have learned, unfortunately, in modern day society, to live without cows. Now we have learned to live without land. You know, in the cities, most people never think about the land, although every day they eat, and they forget that actually what I'm eating comes from the land. Of course, what I'm eating today in modern day society is not very wholesome because of so many things that are being done to Mother Earth, Bhumi. Bhumi is one of our mothers. The cow is another mother. We have, in this way, in Vedic culture teaches us, we have many mothers that we need to respect. And especially beginning with Mother Cow, because there is a link, a direct link, between food production and cows, actually, when we do it the proper way and when we respect the laws of nature. So Mother Cow, many wonderful prayers, many wonderful philosophical points within these prayers are explained actually by our sages and throughout our Shastra. And I'll just briefly mention something that is very, let's say, essential, and that will help us in following this video that I'll be showing in a few minutes. So there's a very important verse. Someone just happened to send it to me a few days back, where it mentions that pratham. Pratham in Sanskrit means first. The verse explains that first most important thing in society, and it should be also in our lives, because it's like that in Krishna's life. When Krishna lived in Vrindavan, what he meditated on and what he cared for the most were actually the cows, isn't it? Every single day, Krishna, he would meditate on the cows. Not only he would meditate, he would actually worship the cows. Not only he would worship the cows, but he would serve the cows. His whole day was actually with the cows. The majority of residents of Vrindavan, their whole life is centered actually around the cow. Why? Because the cow is what sustains. Is what sustains all of humanity. And in the Vedic culture, cows and lamb form the basis of economy. We are very, very, far away from this understanding, from this lifestyle in present-day mechanized and industrialized society, which has actually brought us very, very far from these basic concepts. This basic lifestyle has made us, in many ways, become very impersonal, actually. That's one very interesting and important aspect. The lifestyle that Krishna lived in Vrindavan, connected with cows, connected with the land, facilitated his exchange. Why is Krishna? Why we say incarnation? Actually, Krishna is the source of all incarnation. And he appears but very rarely in his original transcendental form as Krishna in Vrindavan. And why is that incarnation? Why is Krishna, and why are Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan so important? Because when Krishna appears in his original transcendental form and shows us how he is eternally living in the spiritual world, and how all of us are meant to live also, he displays what he does not display in any other incarnation, the full realm, complete realm of all possible exchanges, relationships, rasas, emotions that he has with different individuals. The very important aspect, actually, of the Vedic culture. We know how in modern-day society, we were just talking on this point, I think this morning or yesterday, that, you were asking the question, Yogindra Prabhu, that how is it that even amongst the devotees, very often, we have relationship problems. And what to speak of, one would think that if one has that knowledge, information of Krishna consciousness, relationships will be better. What to speak of, let's say, in the outside world where that information is not there. So the small point I want to make, and we're going to go right away in this presentation, is that the more we live a more natural life, connected with cows, connected with the land, because the cow is the only animal that is actually in the highest level of what we call goodness, the mode of goodness. When we, just on this simple point actually, when we associate with the cows, we tend to also become good. simple logic. If there's a saying, right, that tell me who your friend is, your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. we can understand a person by individuals with whom he associates. So therefore, viticulture wants or expects or invites all of us to associate with cows, to live with cows. We're meant to live with cows, because cows are in the mode of goodness, and cows are the most dear to Krishna than any other living entity, including the brahmanas. Isn't it? Namo brahmanya devaya go brahmana hitaya cha jagaditaya krishnaya govindaya namo namaha. This small video is called What Cows Want. As soon as we start it in a few minutes, you can just sit back there's very nice melody, music, which is, the background is Hare Krishna bhajan, kirtan. And try to follow the, you might have to get up a little close. Some of the, I didn't make this video, by the way. One devotee from Australia has put it together. It gives a very powerful message. I mean, it's very attractive, very pleasing to hear, very pleasing to see. Although, I mean, there's nothing really shocking. It's not one of those videos that is meant to, you know, some videos really, when it comes to cow protection. And basically, it's the cows, you know. The origin of all cows, her name is Surabhi. It is said that, actually, before human beings were created, Surabhi existed before humans were created. And then when Surabhi spoke, then that's when Lord Brahma created human beings. There are many things about cows, actually, which many of us may not be familiar with. And therefore, the main message here actually is that we as devotees, and we as a society, any society, and this is not only for people in India, it's for people all over the world, because Vedic culture is teaching us basic concepts and principles which are universal in nature, number one. And therefore, because they are universal in nature, it means they should never be changed. They should never be in any way, you know, adjusted in a way that spoils the essence of what they actually represent.